Planning a mission trip for your group can be really hard, so we created a super simple process to make it easy. Learn more today at blueskymissions.org. You're listening to the Student Ministry Podcast. If you're a youth pastor, small group leader, college pastor, or even a parent, this podcast is for you. Whether you're looking for tools and resources or encouragement and wisdom, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Kenny Ortiz.
Hello and welcome in to the Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Ortiz, coming at you from the beautiful metropolis of Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out to listen to this episode of the podcast. I am super stoked to dive into the content for this episode. This is episode number 5, and we're going to be talking about an app and platform that all of you no doubt are extremely familiar with. It has become so relevant to all of our lives in such a profound way. The brainchild of Mark Zuckerberg himself. That's right. We're going to be talking about Facebook and how you can use Facebook effectively for your student ministry. So excited to dialogue about this content today. Before we do that, let me just give you two quick reminders. Take care of some business. Number one, it is very important to make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Now, I know that many of you are already subscribed, so thank you. You wouldn't be listening if you weren't already subscribed in many cases, right? But I know that others of you listening to this right now may have kind of stumbled across the podcast in some other platform, or maybe you found it on Facebook or some other social media app, but you're not subscribed. I want to ask you to subscribe for two reasons. Number one, it's a big help to the show. The more subscriptions we have, the further up the rankings we appear. So by you subscribing, it helps us out. Secondly, it guarantees you never miss an episode. I don't have a regular schedule for posting. It's going to be a little bit random. And so to guarantee you never miss an episode, go over and subscribe. As soon as an episode goes live, it gets delivered directly to your device. So if you can head on over to whatever app you're familiar with, hit that subscribe button. That would be a big help. The second thing I want to mention to you is I want to let you know that I actually have another podcast currently producing episodes for. It's called Theology for the Rest of Us. At current time, I got about 140 episodes that have gone live over the last several months. Every episode is anywhere from 8 to 14 minutes long. And in each episode, I answer one theological question. And I try to teach theology in a way that is simple and easy. I've covered everything from speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to covenant theology, to masturbation, to prophecy, to homosexuality, and a whole host of other topics that we've covered. And so I want to encourage you to check that out. Maybe you can use that as a resource and point your youth and young adults to the website for that is theologyfortherestofus.com. All right, let's dive into the topic for today's episode. We're going to be talking about Facebook, and let me tell you, whether we like it or not, Facebook is here to stay. Unlike MySpace, Facebook has made it, and they've established themselves as a kind of the perennial social media empire. There may come a day where Facebook falls apart and no one is using it, but that day is not any time in the near future. And I think if we are very intentional and strategic, we could really dominate Facebook in a way that really enhances our ministries. Let's dominate Facebook for the glory of God. Like that's the thing I've told people a few times. A couple quick items before we really dive into some nitty-gritty content. I think there's a misunderstanding or misconception that teenagers are no longer using Facebook. And that's actually not true. There's no doubt there has been a dip in usage of Facebook by teenagers, but that dip that has happened over the last 3 or 4 years has been a very minimal dip that's happened over a very slow period of time. So there's no doubt that maybe 10 or 12 years from now, or maybe a little bit sooner, that the usage of Facebook amongst teenagers may drop dramatically. However, that is not the case today, and it's not the case for the next several years. Facebook is still being prominently used by lots of teenagers. And the same is true for college students. And so if you're in college ministry, using Facebook can be very effective. In fact, in some ways, for college ministry, it might even be more effective. Let me give you a quick stat, a few statistics that came from the Pew Research Center, just in case you're not familiar. 92% of teenagers are online daily. 92% of teenagers between the ages of 13 and 17 are online at least once a day. 56% of them say that they are online multiple times a day, checking multiple social media apps, And 24% of teenagers report saying that they feel that they are almost constantly connected to social media in one way or another. Now, how much of that usage is Facebook? I was a little bit surprised to hear how high the number was. 71% of all teenagers claim that they use Facebook on a daily basis. Compare that to the other apps. 71% of teenagers use Facebook. 52% use Instagram. 41% use Snapchat. 33% use Twitter, which, by the way, makes me sad because Twitter happens to be my personal favorite social media platform. But let me just say those numbers again. 71% of teenagers use Facebook. 52% use Instagram. 41% use Snapchat. 33% use Twitter. What about our college students and our young adults? Well, 85% of all young adults and college students report using Facebook on a daily basis. Compare that to 55% that use Instagram daily, 45% that use Snapchat daily, and 35% that use Twitter daily. Now, it doesn't surprise me that the percentages are higher in every category because college students are more likely to have more freedom, more likely to have a smartphone than a teenager, so it makes sense. But there is a substantial increase, right? 85% of our college students are using Facebook. So if you think that Facebook is a place where they're not living or not interacting, you're missing out on a potential place to really engage with them. Therefore, I think it's important that we really intentionally and strategically think through how we're going to utilize Facebook in our ministry, both to teenagers as well as to college students and young adults. I think it's important that we really think that through and not just be haphazard or flippant about it. Now, I want to give you a bunch of tips and techniques, some tricks of the trade, so to speak, to help you really utilize Facebook in your ministry. Some of these things are going to apply both to youth ministry as well as college ministry. Some will only apply to one or the other, but I hope that that the content herein will be valuable to anyone who's looking to invest in teenagers or young adults. Number one, the number one way to use Facebook effectively is to have a personal account. Now, I know that most of you already do, and most of you are probably listening to this going, Kenny, that's the stupidest advice you've ever given. Of course we have Facebook. But I have learned that there are some adults that don't have Facebook and are not using it. And I think we could be very strategic in using Facebook. So you should get a personal account. And you should also post lots of great content on your personal account. Post lots of different things. I'm going to talk about content in just a moment. The second thing you ought to do for Facebook, or to use Facebook effectively for your student ministry, is to create a student ministry page. Now, don't create a group primarily. Some people use groups. It's not the most effective way to use Facebook because groups can only, they can only promote certain things. They can only do certain things. Facebook is the easiest way, is the easiest way to promote things. And so create a Facebook page for your student ministry, your youth ministry, or your youth department. Create one large brand under that Facebook page and post lots of content to that particular page. Now, both your personal account and the page, I want to encourage you to distribute lots and lots of content. You should be distributing things like quotes, and not just spiritual quotes. Like spiritual quotes are great, but you also want to be promoting motivational quotes, and you want to be promoting funny quotes, just random funny stuff, all right? And so I've got random funny things that I post to my Facebook as well as my Twitter account on a regular basis, so I want to encourage you to be posting those sort of stuff. You also should be, posting memes. You know, you get a nice picture, beautiful picture, you put a scripture on there, or you get a funny picture and you put a quote over top of it. Doing those sorts of things. I think you ought to be posting multiple things a day. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but you'd post multiple a day. One of the easiest ways to do that is to use a tool that will post for you. I'm going to tell you about two tools that you ought to be using. Number one is a tool called Social Oomph. Now, this tool is extremely cumbersome to use. It's not very user-friendly, but it's extremely robust, and you can use it both for Facebook and for Twitter. The Facebook version of it, I think, is $34 a month. The Twitter-only version, I believe, is $17 a month, something in that range. Their pricing may have shifted recently, but in that range. Me and a buddy of mine have been using Social Oomph for our personal brands and for the promotion of our podcast for multiple years now, and love this product. Basically, you can create different buckets. And so what I've got like a, I've got a spiritual quotes bucket. I've got a motivational quotes bucket. I've got a reform theology quotes bucket. I've got a script. I've got a scripture bucket of a bunch of Bible verses. I've got a bucket that promotes the church plant or the Plant Better podcast, which is a podcast I was a part of for church planters. I've got another bucket that promotes the Inspiring Awesome podcast, which is another podcast I was a part of. I've got another bucket that promotes the Student Ministry podcast. This one, I've got another bucket that promotes the Theology for the Rest of Us podcast. So if you follow me on social media, you've seen me post all sorts of different things. And what you do is you create these different buckets, basically. They call them queues, or queue reservoirs. You create these different buckets, and you can tell the software to automatically post from these buckets on a regular basis. So in each bucket, I've got anywhere from 100 to 200 items in that particular bucket. And then I can say, okay, I want you to tweet from this bucket to Kenny's personal Twitter account, you know, three times a day. And it'll just randomly pick three items from that bucket and post three times a day. And then I'll say, okay, I want you to post from Kenny's spiritual theology quotes bucket. You know, tweet from that one to Kenny's personal Facebook, send to that one, you know, once an hour, you know, whatever. Like, you can set it up to however you want. I recommend that you be posting stuff on a very regular basis, and different types of things, right? Sometimes you're using quotes, sometimes it's funny stuff, sometimes it's funny pictures, sometimes maybe it's memories. Maybe you create a memory bucket or queue in Social Oomph, and it's basically old pictures, and you do a remember when, and you can do those sort of things. So again, you can create all sorts of different things and post them. You can also post your whatever sermon series you're doing. We would do this a lot on Wednesday nights. We'd preach, and then on Thursday morning, post something on Instagram or Facebook that said, you know, that has questions from the night before. Maybe a meme that reminded them of what they learned the night before. Maybe a video bumper or a video promo of the upcoming sermon series, whatever. But promoting lots and lots of stuff. The bottom line is this: produce lots of content and put it on your Facebook page over and just send it out there over and over and over again. All right. Now. So Social Oomph is the main tool that I use for that. The second tool that I would highly encourage you to use is a tool called Buffer. You can get a basic version of it for $10 a month. There's a pro version, which is more, but the $10 a month version for the most part is going to work. And you can attach your Buffer tool to Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. I believe you can use it for Google+. You can use it for Pinterest. You can use it for a couple different things. But I use it a lot for Facebook and for Twitter. Buffer allows you to basically put a bunch of content in the Buffer queue, and you can basically send stuff out on a schedule. However, the one part of Buffer that I use a lot that I would highly encourage you to use is the feeds section. What it allows you to do is to go collect RSS feeds from all over the internet and put them in. You could put up to 15 RSS feeds in there. If you don't know what an RSS feed is, basically it's a script that connects you to some website that produces content. So for example, a podcast actually is nothing more than an RSS feed and a list of MP3s. Like, that's what my podcast is. So you as the listener, you have a podcast app. Your podcast app is connected to an RSS feed. It's a script that tells you to download my audio files whenever I publish one. That's basically what an RSS feed does. So most blogs, for the most part, are all RSS feeds. So what you can do is you can get the RSS feed for a blog and you can put it in your Buffer. So for example, I am a follower of Desiring God's blog, right? Desiring God produces articles every day. They have an RSS feed. I can go to their website. I can get their RSS feed from their website. Usually most websites have a little thing that says, you know, RSS feed. You can take their RSS feed, and you can take it over into Buffer and you can paste it. And basically what will happen is every time Desiring God publishes an article on their RSS feed, on their website, it will automatically go to your Buffer queue. And you can put 15 different feeds. And so let's say you have 15 different feeds and all of them produce three articles today. At the end of the day, you're gonna have 45 articles in your Buffer queue. And then what you can go is you can go into your Buffer queue and you can automatically feed all of that stuff to your social media without having to actually post individually. And so you can just put it all, you can just load it up. And what you can do is you can be sharing content from all different places. So for my personal Twitter account, I've got like Desiring God. I've got Timothy Keller's blog. I've got Sam Storm's blog. I've got a couple different youth ministry blogs, Orange blog, Andy Stanley, Carrie Newhoff, a bunch of different stuff. I Am Second. I got a bunch of different places that have RSS feeds. I load their RSS feeds into the buffer queue, and then it automatically takes. I can get all of that content and send it to my social media. In some cases, you want to actually read the content and vet it before you post it to your own social media, right? But in some cases, you might decide that you trust that source enough that you want to just push it out there. And so I'll leave that. Obviously, that's up to you to determine. So social oomph for the creation and the curation of your own content, creating multiple buckets, and then buffer. Between the combination of those two, you can basically take your Facebook page and produce oodles and oodles amount of content that people would care about and find valuable, which will cause them to interact with your page more and more often and like more things. Now, I'm going to give you two quick techniques on what you should be producing on your Facebook page to help engage people or to help boost engagement. The Facebook algorithms will penalize you if you produce a lot of content that gets zero engagement. All right. So every time you produce you send out a post and it doesn't get liked or doesn't get shared, it will end up hurting you, which means that your future post will then be less likely to show up at the top of the feed. For those of you who don't know this, your Facebook feed, Facebook has algorithms that determine where things appear in your Facebook feed. And there's two things that cause items to appear in your Facebook feed in a particular order. The more that you interact with a particular person's Facebook post, the more they will appear in your feed. So let's say you and I are Facebook friends, and every time I post a quote every day, you click like. Well, what Facebook will realize, you like Kenny's stuff a lot. Let's push his stuff up the Facebook feed more. So then in the future, your Facebook feed will have my stuff further up than before. But if I'm posting stuff on a regular basis and you end up and you scroll past it and you never even look at it, you never like it or never share it, you never comment on it, Facebook over time will then push me down your Facebook feed because Facebook will assume you don't like what I have to say, so it'll push it down. The other thing that Facebook does is the more that people in general interact with a particular Facebook, the more it pushes us up the feed on everyone who likes that page. So if you have a Facebook page and you produce a piece of content, let's say there's 300 people that like that page. If only 20 people click like, well then it won't show up very high in the Facebook feeds of the 300 people that already like the page. But let's say you have a Facebook page that has 300 likes, and you produce a piece of content and 150 people click like, well then what will happen is the next time you post something, the post will appear further up the feeds of all 300 people and even further up the feeds of the 100 people that liked your previous post. Like the more people that interact with your particular postings, the further up the feeds you will appear after someone clicks like on your page. When someone clicks like on your page, what will determine how far up their feed your content appears is how many people are engaging with your stuff. I'm going to give you two little hacks, two tricks, so to speak, on how you can bump up engagement. Number one is ask questions. People are somehow inherently programmed to want to answer questions. I don't know why this is. People love answering questions. So ask questions. So maybe you post a photo from summer camp last year and you go, hey, man, remember summer camp was so great last year? Hey, tell me what's your favorite memory from summer camp last year? Boom, question, right? You're asking for something. Or maybe you post a quote. The quote is, let's say, from some famous person. Maybe it's Kanye. You know, you post a quote. It says, Kanye West said blah, blah, blah. Do you agree with Kanye, yes or no, right? So now you're getting engagement. Again, you're not trying to promote Kanye West. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get engagement. You know, hey, so-and-so said this. Do you disagree or agree? What do you think? And then every time someone comments, respond to them, or maybe get one of your interns or one of your other volunteers that you trust, one maybe a parent that you think is really, you know, that could be very engaging and witty and intelligent to get them to engage. Like, have a team of three or four people in charge of commenting and responding to every single person and try to ask questions. The more questions you ask, the more people will respond. ESPN does this a lot on their SportsCenter Facebook page. They'll post, you know, Kobe did this, LeBron James did this. If you think Kobe is better, click like. If you think LeBron is better, comment. Like, see what they're instantly asking people to engage, right? Or they post things that are maybe a little bit controversial. And so maybe you could post, if you're willing, a meme or a picture of Target and go, Target has a new transgender policy. What do you think about it? Do you think Christians should boycott Target? Yes or no? Get people to respond. Obviously, you got to be very cautious and careful what you do. You don't want to be offensive. You want to be gracious. We want to be winsome. We want to be gospel oriented. However, I would encourage you not to shy away from some of these topics because it will engage people. It will basically, boost engagement on your Facebook posts, which will ultimately take all of your posts and bump them up people's feeds. Very, very important. The other thing that you can do, it's a little bit of a hack, a little bit of a trick with Facebook. And I've done this with other places as well, not just Facebook. But what you can do is this, kind of get a covert group of people. Let's say you find 15 moms of student ministry of kids. You know, you find a bunch of soccer moms that are stay-at-home moms, they're suburban moms, and they're all over Facebook. You know, by the way, one of the largest groups of people on Facebook are stay-at-home moms above the age of 35. They are all over Facebook. And so some of you listening to this, you may be familiar with those people. You may be one of those people, who knows? So this is what I would do if I were you, if you're a youth pastor with a Facebook page. Go to a bunch of moms and tell them, listen, in order for our Facebook content to appear higher up in our students' feeds, we need a lot of likes. Will you make me a commitment? Will you covenant with us to promise to like everything that we post as soon as we post it? Go find an army of soccer moms and maybe dads as well, or maybe your volunteer base, maybe your student ministry leaders, maybe key students. Like, go find a bunch of people, a little mini army, and as soon as you post something, you can just wait for them to see it, or maybe you have a group text message and you send text messages to all of them and say to all 30 of them and you say, hey, I just posted something on Facebook, can you go like it? So they can get boosted up the feed. And everyone goes and likes it, and Facebook will see that they like it, and all of a sudden, it will boost that post up the feeds of all of your students. And your students are now more likely to see the content. Now, maybe you don't do that with every single post, but you could do that with maybe your more important posts. Maybe you tell your moms, hey, every Friday morning, I'm going to post this thing that's really important. I'm going to post a video devotional, 2-minute video devotional every Friday morning. Can you do me a huge favor? Can you go like it and share it every Friday morning? Because as soon as they click like and as soon as they share it, it's going to boost up the Facebook feeds of everyone who already likes your page. And if they share it, it's going to be in the feeds of all of their friends. And those people might click like on that post, which again, will boost it up the feeds. The more likes and the more shares you can get, the more organically Facebook will push that content up to the top of the feeds of all of your people, which means the more people that will see it, and the more people will interact with it, the more they'll enjoy the content, and the more you'll be in front of them when they're interacting with social media. Okay, I just got a few other techniques and some tips as you're engaging in Facebook. One other thing that you can do really effectively in Facebook is using their events section. In Facebook, as many of you probably already know, you can go in and you can create an event. The reason why this is really important is because when you create an event, then you can invite a bunch of people. If you have a page and you create an event, you can then invite everyone who likes that page. And you can then send invites out to a bunch of other people that you may be connected to. And you can allow other people that see the event to then invite their friends if they want. And if someone clicks, yes, they're going to an event, it shows up in the feed and other people will then begin to see it. The other thing that makes this really, really effective is that if someone, as most people do, if someone's using Facebook on their on their smartphone, there's some settings in the calendar that allow people to automatically take their Facebook events and to automatically put it into their calendar. A lot of people have their phone set up this way. Maybe some of you listening to this may have it set up that way. I know I have it set up that way. So if I see an event on Facebook that I like, I automatically click like, or click that I'm going to it, and it automatically shows up in my calendar on my phone. And I use my calendar a bunch, as I'm sure many of you do. Now, even if I don't click that I'm going to an event on Facebook, if I've been invited to it, that event, as many of you have probably seen on your phones, it shows up in my calendar on my phone, but it's grayed out. So when I look at my phone, I can see everyone that has invited me to an event. So I may not have accepted it, but I can see it and it shows up in my calendar and I can easily determine if I want to attend that event that day or not. This is particularly effective if you have parents of teenagers that are connected to your Facebook page. That way it goes right to their calendar. And if you have college students, obviously with their smartphones, they're using their calendar, it goes right to them. And of course, you're going to be able to do this with teenagers. But we know that high school students and particularly middle school students are not doing this for the most part, but high school students are not using a calendar on their smartphone nearly as frequently as adults are. But if you can get parents connected and you can get your events on their calendar and their smartphone, it's another opportunity to have what you're doing in front of them, makes them more likely to engage with it, maybe even more likely for them to have their students or their kids attend that event. You can do this with college kids and young adults quite effectively. In fact, the young adult church, the young adult ministry, the church I've been a part of for several years, uses this very effectively in terms of creating events, sending it to people's smartphones. People like it. It's a very effective way to communicate and to correspond with people about upcoming events that you have going. Another thing you can do is use Facebook for encouragement. I try to do this a lot. We often catch students doing wrong things, but let's try to catch them doing right things. And I've not done this a bunch in student ministry, and as I look back on some of my student ministry experiences, I actually regret not having done this more often. And so going forward, I'm actually going to start implementing this a lot more in some of my Facebook strategies. But what you can do is you can take a picture of a student that's done something cool, post about them on Facebook, both on your personal account and your Facebook page, and make sure you tag that student. The Facebook tagging feature is great because when you tag someone, it instantly moves you to puts you on their page, and it puts you in the feed of all of their friends that you may not be friends with, right? So if Billy's one of my students, I see him vacuuming after student ministry one Wednesday night. I snap a picture of it. He doesn't know. Thursday morning, there's a picture of him vacuuming. I say, man, so thankful for Billy. He's a great student who's helped vacuuming. Thank you for serving the ministry. Love you, Billy. You're the man. I tag him in it. I tag his parents in it, right? And then I post it both to my personal account and to our page. Or I put it on our Facebook page and then I share it on my personal account, right? So then I'm getting a share out of it, kind of helping the algorithm there. That helps with the boosting algorithm. And so then I put it on there. So instantly, it's not all of Billy's friends that may not like my page or may not be friends with me, they can now see it in his feed because I tagged him in it. Unless, of course, he has it set to not allow that, which you can do in Facebook. You can set it to have for people not be allowed to do that. But most people don't do that. By default, most people have it set that allows you, or that's the default setting for Facebook, and most people don't change it. So you can use it as a way of encouragement. And there's no doubt that kid's parents are going to share that. Maybe some of his friends are going to share it. They're going to like it. You're going to get a lot of engagement that way. Another kind of unique thing that I've done a few times is the Facebook profile picture. I've done this for my personal account several times where I do a contest or I do something fun with people, and the prize is getting to be in my profile picture for a week or a few days. And I'll take a selfie with that kid, and then I take a photo and make that my profile picture because they did something great. And then I comment, so-and-so did something great. I post the photo first, I tag them in it, I comment, so-and-so did this great thing, won this contest, they're gonna be my profile picture. And then after I've shared that photo, I then go in and make that photo my profile picture. And so that's another thing you can do. I mentioned this a moment ago, but another thing you can do is video devotions. Do like a quick 1 minute, 2 minute, just you somewhere or someone you trust, someone's good on camera, one of your volunteers, one of your leaders. have them share a quick 1 or 2 minute devotional. Maybe you can use Facebook Live. Facebook Live is a new, very effective tool that if you're, you know, if you do that well, you can do that, use Facebook Live, and then the video obviously stays on Facebook after the fact. Or you can do an Instagram video, share it on your Instagram, and then obviously feed it to your Facebook. Obviously, a lot of people are doing that. So those are some of the strategies that I've used to kind of help take my Facebook engagement to the next level. The one other piece that you can do in boosting is you can obviously pay to boost Facebook page posts. So if you have a Facebook page and you have at least 250 likes on that page, I believe is the number, you can actually pay a few dollars to have Facebook take that ad and put it in the news feed of people that don't like the page. So you can target zip codes, you can target people that like other genres, you can target people that are of a certain age, you can target people that attend a certain school, you can do all kinds of targets, and you can take a post that you really like and you can spend some money, and it's not that expensive. I mean, literally for a few pennies you can get hundreds of impressions in other Facebook in the feeds of other people. You can spend 20 or 30 bucks, and that can easily lead you to, you know, a few thousand impressions in the feed of people that otherwise would have never seen your stuff. So first you want to post it, then you want to get a bunch of people to like it, you want to get it shared, you want it organically to go up, and then you want to spend some money on it, an ad spend you know, a couple bucks on that to boost the post after it's gotten some traction already. And what that will do is the combination of the organic traction and the boost will take that ad, that post. Again, it's a post that you sent. You can pay to boost it. It takes that that post that you've now paid for, and it shoots it up the feed of not just the people that you're friends with and people that like the page, but up the feed of people that you're not even friends with yet or don't even know and haven't liked the page. And again, it will expand your Facebook reach. It is an extremely, extremely effective way to get more people to engage with your content and to like your page, and then obviously get to learn about who you are and what you're doing. Very, very cost-efficient, effective manner. One other piece of Facebook that a lot of people use that I personally am not a big fan of, but I definitely see that they can be effective, and that's Facebook groups. I'm a part of a bunch of different Facebook groups. Some are big, some are large, and they can be effective in some ways. You can create groups, but the problem with groups is you've got limited functionality of how that group can interact with people outside of Facebook that are outside of that group. But if there is a particular group of people that you want to interact with and you don't want necessarily anyone else to interact with the things going on in that group, then obviously that's a great place to do it. So let's say you've got 20 of your small group leaders and you want to interact with them, or you know, your 20 main, you know, volunteers or just your interns or whatever, and you want to interact with them on Facebook in one way or another as a way to communicate or a way to send things to them. You can create a private group or an open group, however you want to set it up. You can create a group and have those people join that group. And you can then foster, you know, conversation, or you can dialogue. I have not done it a bunch. I haven't seen it to be super effective, other than if it's a small group and I want to find an easy way to communicate with a group of people. Let's say I've got 30 or 40 small group leaders. I can create a Facebook group and I can post stuff there. So whenever I see someone and they go, oh, I need that thing, or I didn't see that, I can say, check the Facebook group. It's on there. A youth ministry as a part of recently did have a Facebook group for parents, and they would send information there. That was one way to do it. So there are some strategic ways to use groups. I find it's not nearly as effective as some other means of communication. I find that text messaging and emails with that size of group still is the most efficient way to do it. But for a lot of people, Facebook groups might be the best way. So I'd encourage you to at least test that out. Take a look at Facebook groups and see what the options are. Maybe what a Facebook group offers is better for your use. Before I let you go, let me give you two quick pieces of software or apps that you can use for photos. One is called Over. You can find it at madewithover.com. That's madewithover.com. This is basically an app that allows you to take photos or images of any kind and basically put in a caption or make a meme out of it. You can also take a watermark or a PNG logo. You could put your logo over top of it. It's super easy. Literally in a matter of seconds, you could take a picture or capture an image from the internet, create something, make a meme out of it, a quote, and then boom, you can post it to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Again, it's called the Over app, made with Over. I think it's like $3. You can get it on your smartphone. The other app if you're not familiar with making collages, many of you probably are familiar with that already. Collages, there's lots of collage apps out there. The one I use is one called Moldiv. It's Moldiv, M-O-L-D-I-V. There's a free version and then there's a paid version. The premium version, it's a couple bucks. I think it's less than $5. You can buy with a bunch of different features and then you can make collages. You know, I love doing this. If you do an event, take a bunch of photos and you can post that. Or if there's someone's birthday, I do this a lot on birthdays. I take a bunch of selfies with me and that student. And then I take a collage of like four or five photos. And then I four or five photos of that person. I make a collage out of it, kind of an artsy looking collage. And I post that to Instagram and Facebook. And then again, I tag that student. Happy birthday, so-and-so. Love you so much. And you can do that. So collages are really effective. A lot of people love using collages. Those are very, very helpful. So I'd encourage you to get a collage app if you don't have one or not familiar with one. Moldiv is the one that I recommend. All right, those are all of my tips and tricks on how to dominate Facebook and how to use it efficiently in student ministry. I hope some of this has been helpful for you. One other quick caveat to everything I just said. I want to just make sure everyone knows. I do not believe that Facebook should supplant personal relationships. Personal relationships and spending time with people is the heart, the very core of discipleship and mentorship. I just want to use Facebook and other social media platforms to help enhance my ability to be in front of people, to enhance my ability to jump into their lives so that it will lead to time that I can spend with them to personally mentor and personally disciple. In my opinion, no matter how good your Facebook strategy is, it ought to never supplant or substitute or replace time with teenagers and college students that need you in their lives. And that probably goes without saying, I know, but I wanted to stress it. I want to make it clear that Facebook should be a supplement to the influence we have in the lives of young people so that we can continually spend time with them and invest in their lives. And I sure hope that some of the things I've said in this episode will be helpful to you as you endeavor to use Facebook to enhance the influence you have and as you continually endeavor to disciple and mentor young people. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you have a question or a topic that you would like me to address, or if you'd like me to interview you, shoot me an email. The address is heyortiz@studentministrypodcast.com. It's HEYORTIZ at studentministrypodcast.com. If you would like to connect with me personally, the best place to do that is on Twitter. Find me there. My handle is @KennethOrtiz. It's KennethOrtiz. Reminder, make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode of the podcast. Also, check out my other podcast, Theology for the Rest of Us. You can find it on the web, theologyfortherestofus.com. Our intro and outro theme music for this episode has been Actionable by Ben Sound. I'm Kenny Ortiz, and this has been the Student Ministry Podcast.